Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio none other than Nate Wallace, who has been seen around town in a light jacket, which must mean something. Welcome, Nate.
Thanks.
Does this mean spring is here?
Well, I'm declaring it spring is here. I don't know if anybody else will agree, but I've taken the liner out of all my jackets.
Oh, well, that sounds like a good thing, actually. I've noticed that looking here at the temperature range and projecting ahead for the next 10 days, it appears that we're going to be seeing 40 degrees, mid-40s throughout the day, and temperatures roughly about freezing overnight. So I think you're on the right track.
Yeah, it brings its own problems. Snow has one set, and this type of weather has another. So
let's talk a little bit about that other set of problems. Snow removal, not so big a deal these days. The sun has taken care of it, the warm temperatures. I do notice, for example, even this morning we were going along and there was because the temperature was right there at freezing, there was a light layer of ice at one along the roadway where normally water goes down underground and somewhere special. I don't know where it goes. You probably do. But there was water there because I'm guessing that there might be some freezing within a drainage system. Is that a problem?
It can be. We started a week or so ago, probably 2 weeks ago, and we saw the forecast of the warm weather's coming to make sure our storm drains were all thawed. So you may have seen the thaw truck out,
right,
out and about. Our storm drains, they weren't ice fishing. They were actually thawing those pipes so that the water has some place to go. But the surface water now, as you mentioned, it thaws by mid afternoon, and we see some rivers.
Right.
And then by about 3 or 4 in the morning, the rivers dry up and leave a sheen on the road. So we don't see too much more freezing in our storm system.
Okay.
But some of the drains will freeze over, but then the sunlight will melt them. So.
Okay.
But it does make the roadways and walkways slick in the morning because they will have a sheen to them. So folks, be careful when you're out there.
So in a somewhat related question, is it okay to stop dripping from the faucets?
I not yet. No, there's still that the ground hasn't thawed out yet,
and we are
seeing some of that. Still lines freezing.
For listeners who have either forgotten, I'll bring back your attention that there's a notice that's passed out to people living in the city that says please leave a pencil thin drip from a faucet to help keep the systems from freezing up.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look out now and we say, oh, well, the snow's gone, it's warm, everything's fine. But you're saying down under the ground, there's still...
Yes, the ground's still frozen to a certain depth. And it does get cold at night, still freezing. So I'd keep them until the freezing temperatures are gone.
Okay.
And there should be a notice that goes out with the water bill that...
Pretty soon.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take care of that. Well, I noticed that there's unlike places in Anchorage, which have had some incredible piles of snow in places, very, very piles. Ours are relatively small and getting smaller. Most of the snow that has been picked up and moved has gone over by the airport, has it not?
Correct. We've got a couple of snow dumps. There's one, and they're both on the airport. One that's visible at the airport road and then one on Cope Industrial.
Okay.
And they're still big, huge piles.
Okay. Yeah, but they're gradually. Yeah, and they're hidden. They're not right in your face. So we typically walk through and say, we used to ask about the Fred Meyer store, and now the Fred Meyer store has been open. And I drove by yesterday, day before, and I noticed the parking lot still had a lot of vehicles in it. Which suggests that with now having a large cars store on one side, Fred Meyer's on the other, that there may be more traffic flowing in that direction, which once upon a time was over by the post office. Any indications of increased traffic issues or one sort or another as a result of this change?
I haven't been informed of any. That's on the Palmer-Wasilla side of the Glen Highway, but you can, I mean, when you drive it, you see a little bit of it.
Right.
I haven't seen it where it gets backed up any worse in the afternoons at the end of the typical workday on Evergreen to the flashing light, that traffic looks to be about the same.
Okay.
But I'm there has to be more traffic just because of the nature of Fred Meyer's being on the other side of the road. I think there's more traffic on Dogwood now.
Right.
At least that entrance exit than I think folks may have expected. But the on Cobb, yeah, there's a lot less traffic. And I don't know how that has affected this part of town for businesses, if it's caused any less traffic to come this way.
Well, that's interesting. I know that leaving the parking lot at Fred Meyer's, we do come Dogwood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is no easy way to go out onto the Palmer Wasilla Highway, find yourself heading in the wrong direction, spin around and come back through what tends to be a little more congested versus winding your way through the parking lot and then out the back way across Dogwood, which seems to flow actually pretty well.
It does. There's another secret exit that a lot of folks, it's just a matter of training. It's just as much weaving through traffic to get Roland Memorial, and then you can turn left on Palmer Wasilla, but it's at the other end. So Dogwood and Roland Memorial exits from Fred Meyer's are ways that you can choose left or right.
Okay.
Where you pull out more so in front of McDonald's.
Right.
Yeah, that's only a right turn. And that's the natural, when you come out of Fred Meyer's, the natural, when you look at the parking lot, the natural exit is that one.
Sure.
But that is the most inconvenient exit of
right.
the three.
And it's a matter of if it's a high traffic time on the Palmer Wasilla, then I tend to avoid it and
yes.
go the other way. And that seems to work. And of course, it seems much quieter around the post office because it's just the post office,
that too,
not Fred Meyer's. Which brings us to obviously the real question here. What's happening with the older Fred Meyer building?
It belongs to Fred Meyer's. So it's there. I've seen their website. It's for sale. $6.6 million was the last time I looked at it. They've dropped the price.
Oh.
It's not $2 million that was in the headlines a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
There was a couple of words left out. The price has been dropped by $2 million.
Okay.
So they've held an auction. They held an auction last week, or maybe it was this week,
right.
For their fixtures. So there's a lot of activity going on there.
Sure.
There's still some, I mean, the throughput of the new Fred Meyer's with all the loads that they have in, they're still using a portion of it as a transfer point still, not a storage area, but an empty trailer. You see a lot of empty trailers there now, but it's starting to back off, I think.
Right. $6.6 million.
Yes.
Who knows? I mean, that would seem to be, in some respects, a bargain, but only if you really figure out how to...
It works for your business.
How to work for your business, right. I'm you know, I started playing with my, with some, you know, like, could it be the, I don't know what. a few ideas seem to pop up now and then, but obviously no one has pulled the trigger on that.
That's right. Okay. I was in Anchorage the other day, and the Sports Authority that's
right.
pulled out of Wasilla and Anchorage, both of those stores in both places are still, I would consider those comparable in size to this Fred Meyer, and both of those are still empty. So the economy is, I think, holding some folks back from investing more than anything else.
Sure.
Not the location. I think it's a great location for the Valley for retail. Be a great location for state offices if they're looking to consolidate and move out of some of the other places. So I'd rather see retail. I think everybody would rather see retail, but it's a building that we'd rather see occupied soon rather than occupied for years. So, mm-hmm. But again, it belongs to Fred Meyer's, and it's whatever's best in there. They own it. It's theirs. It's whatever's best for their interest. But
and they still pay real estate taxes on it.
They still do pay property taxes, yeah.
yeah.
And the value is the same as it's always been.
Okay. All right. Now, there's another building that's near to the city hall, and that's the medical clinic. It's still in progress.
Yes. I don't know that they're weeks away from opening, but I know they're pretty close. I haven't had a conversation with anyone about that, but just walking by, they've cleaned out a lot of the contractors' equipment and trucks, and if you peek in the windows every now and then, you see folks that aren't wearing hard hats working in there, so it's coming along. I think they're getting pretty close to putting the sign up and hanging a shingle that says, ready for business.
Okay. Now, there is since we're talking about that whole area, there we noticed that there seems to be a rebuilding of a bike trail just on the west side of the Glen Highway along the new Fred Meyers parking lot. It's either a relocation or a rebuilding or something of a pathway, it looks like. So it raised in my mind the question of what's happening with the Glen Highway.
That was a roundabout way to get there.
But that was my thought. I looked at it and I was asked, well, what's happening there? I said, well, maybe it's part of a preliminary work or to complete things as a relocation because some work is going to be done on the Glen Highway for widening it through there, et cetera. What's your sense of timing for all of that?
Well, for timing, it's probably 2 years
still that much
for the Glen Highway project. We spoke with the engineers this week, as a matter of fact, and their indication is that it may be ready. Portion of it may be able to go out to bid in the next 6 to 8 months, with potential construction next year. They're still working some right of way issues, but it looks like they may start on this end because of the lesser of right of way issues starting in Palmer. So Fred Meyers, when they built that building, part of their landscape plan included that section of the in front of their building with the because it was a bike trail, but they also knew that there was expansion of the Glen. So I don't want to call what they do temporary because it's 2 years is sure not necessarily temporary, but they're going to finish up part of their landscape and we'll include that.
Okay.
But the Glen Highway, when it does come through, will include a trail, a bike path that starts at least at the Kepler Lake area and comes all the way into town and up to the tunnel. And I believe that's about where it stops. It may go a little farther, but I'm not sure if the project goes all the way up to Fishhook. I don't think it does. But so the bike path will be a paved path all the way from at least Kepler all the way into Palmer. So,
well, it would be interesting if it would go to either Fishhook or to Cedar Hills to provide a safe travel by bike or walking, for that matter, up and down and all the rest of it. Which leads us into progress on the trails situation. I know Pete LaFrance, council member, gave a rather thorough presentation to but not only the city council, but other groups about some proposals. Has there been action or movement on that? Or what are we looking at for improvements to the biking, walking trail system in Palmer?
The one concrete piece that we're going to do is behind the depot. We're going to finish that connection of the Shane Wood Trail to the sidewalk in front of the library.
Oh, wonderful.
We received a grant from the National Park Service and the Marlboro Foundation, $5,000 grant. The only one in the state, as a matter of fact.
Whoa.
$5,000 to complete that trail towards that. It's about a $15,000 project to do it paved. So that will start this year. Some of the suggestions were for improve our bike paths or bike lanes. So part of our sidewalk, our crosswalk painting, will be repainting a lot of our bike lanes.
Okay.
There's our road in downtown here, you'll see some things painted on it for just to warn motorists that it is a mixed-use road. Bicycles are allowed on the roadway. Mm-hmm. They're not allowed on the sidewalk because the sidewalk's not really big enough. So you'll see some bicycle symbols on the roadway to warn motorists. Yeah, there's some other trails that we'd like to get done, connecting Cope Industrial to Fireweed. I'd like to see that done, at least through the I call it the Rempel Park area. It's not a park. It's a runway protection zone at the end of the runway there between Rempel and the airport. There were a couple of open houses last year discuss what to do with that green space. Now, the one thing that we are going to do at least is pave the social trail that goes along the fence. Not pave it, but at least gravel it this year. That's our intent.
Wonderful, wonderful. Because in spring and as well in the fall, I know it can become rutted and wet and the transition times. Yep. So
it won't get done before this year's transition, but hopefully we get it done before next spring.
Okay. Fall. And that would be gravel.
With gravel.
Okay. Yep. Well, that would be a significant improvement. It gets, when you describe it as a social trail, it's a very very important trail. I think it gets, in my experience, fairly heavy use.
Oh, yeah.
Both walkers, bikers, and so on, as a good way to go over there. Because otherwise, you have to roll all along on the road until you finally get to the bike trail by the junior middle school.
Yeah.
And
well, there's a bike lane.
Yeah, that is true.
And that's just the other piece, too. Maybe our bike lanes are too faded to folks to realize. And then we don't advertise in the city. We don't have a map that shows where bike lanes are. So education of folks that are riding bikes, that there are places that are marked.
Mm-hmm.
That they're not necessarily connected and direct from A to B. You might have to go from A to C to B.
Sure.
But there are urban trails within the city that just aren't, people just don't realize are there.
And of course, part of the problem is these days, biking seems to be a all year round activity. So once you get a little snow down, the bike trail thing becomes hard, unless you're familiar with it, hard to see white on white.
Well, yes, that too. The other piece is with bikeability and somewhat walkability is becoming more and more to the forefront. Last night at the Parks Board, it was a conspiracy against not against the city, but the Parks Board talks about trails, the Planning and Zoning talks about trails.
Sure.
The BED talks about trails. Well, why is everybody talking about trails? Well, if you look back, I mean, this is a culmination of a lot of things, but if you look back 10, 15 years ago, you could ride a bike anywhere almost in Palmer and not see a car or have an encounter with a car and not be on a path. And Now we have more and more cars, more and more activities that are competing for the same space that we used to ride our bikes on.
Sure.
We do have paths, but some of those paths, I mean, we don't have a path downtown, but you've been able to ride a bike in the past downtown without issue.
Sure.
So it's not because Palmer hasn't recognized that. Palmer has grown, not necessarily in size, but in the nature of activities that now we require places for bikes to be there safe, for sure. Places for people to walk and not have to be run over by a bike. So the times have changed some, and it's now to the point where either we didn't see it coming, or it crept up on us too fast, or society has put more emphasis on riding bikes and walking than we have in the past. So sure. I think all those together is what's bringing trails and paths more and more to the front than it has been.
Well, biking, it's my impression, certainly the winter biking has increased.
And that's changed. Yeah, it's changed a whole lot. It
changed the whole thing with fat bikes, et cetera, and making that happen. Well, one of my favorite areas to talk about is the crossing right in the center of town, going across the railroad tracks from this side to that side.
Can we go
side.
Back to trails?
Yeah, that makes trails seem easy. Because I each day I walk across there, and granted now that the snow is gone, there you got a chance. When the snow is there, it's hard to find and say, okay, if you're going to walk across there, you're walking in the street, because very often until it takes a while, because the snow comes down, it's thrown around, to have a pathway across there that is walkable. But even when the snow is gone, as you know, one side has what the semblance of sidewalk, sort of. The other side...
social trail.
Well, it's a social trail because the sidewalk leads you on with a little beginning piece and then disappears.
Yes.
So I will bring this up because I think it's one of probably the most difficult areas to find a solution for, but also the one that will once... fixed will be significant improvement in people's lives. A lot of people, particularly as we get into the summer, go across there.
Mm-hmm. It's not well designed for the number of cars that use that area.
Right.
And that goes back to the 1917 when the RIT depot was put in. And there's no easy fix. The natural crossing is the track.
Right.
If you're on that side of the road, follow the track, but that's not a good place to put a crosswalk because there's only one car length between the intersection.
Got it.
And the other intersection. So it's the place to cross is at the four-way. And again, that's just getting to, marking it better, encouraging people to stay where their crosswalks are, and then also having a path on either side that's walkable, as opposed to stumbling over gravel and what may be. So part of that extension behind the depot, we're looking at how to improve over the railroad on that side. We've had some discussions at Public Works on how we might come up with at least a temporary or a quick fix on the other side with either a gravel path. It's not on our sidewalk plan for this year, but it's on our radar as something that needs to be addressed. But crossing either on the tracks or when you get down to the corner by the library, either one of those is not a safe way to do it. It's also a lot like Evergreen and Cobb. Just put a crosswalk there. Well, now I'm telling people to put their lives in danger,
right?
Because the way that road is set up at this point, it's not a controlled crosswalk. There's no stoplight. There's no stop sign. If you're in a crosswalk, sure, cars are supposed to stop, but that's another turning lanes, parked cars.
That's interesting because Evergreen, you either cross at the red light or you go up to the Glen Highway.
those are the approved crossings.
But if you happen to be wanting to go over, obviously people don't do that because you've got this whole line of things on the side there, bank on one side, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
I dart across. I take my life in my own hands to get a haircut.
Sure. Sure, he's doing that.
But that's not the approved crossing. So if I'm in the street, I am at risk. And I guess if there's a police officer nearby, they can give me a jaywalking ticket.
Right.
But there's a fix for that one. There's going to be a stoplight there. It will be a raised, and it will be a somewhat elevated crossing as part of the design plan. And Evergreen here at Evergreen and Colony, I have to go back and look at the plans. And that may be also another elevated intersection where they slightly raise it a little bit.
Sure.
To warn the drivers that's a crossing point, and also provides a little bit more for the individuals that are walking. The crosswalk is a different material. So that's coming as part of the Glen Highway and the Eastern Terminus project. So again, a little ways down the way, but it will get fixed. We will have a crossing at Cobb and Evergreen someday.
Okay, Mike Malefsky here. I've been talking with Nate Wallace, and we've gone down the trail here. We've been focused on trails and roads and the rest of that, which seems to be appropriate. My sense is it's a good thing that there are different groups that they're paying attention, that issues are understood, and we're looking for solutions that are not just going to be quickies, but ones that will sustain over time. Yeah, okay, we'll do that. Well, we have enough time, of course, to ask, how's the dispatch? I've saved the best.
Save the best for last. From our perspective, we're supporting it in the same manner we have always supported dispatch. When the phone calls come in, we handle those calls the way they should be. It's a borough transition. It's been a borough dispatch transitioning to MATCOM, and everyone's working their piece to make that happen. I think there's some issues with the timing.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the 90% point where we're going to have to provide a termination notice with the borough that we can no longer provide the same level of service that they've contracted for. I think they thought they would pull the trigger first on this one, but it turns out that MATCOM has hired three of our dispatchers, which is great for the people and it's great for MATCOM, but it doesn't allow us to continue with this contract in the same manner. So we'll continue to dispatch, and we're working with the borough on what transition looks like after July 1st.
Okay.
So it's ongoing. Folks are working it. But.
So the people that have been hired by MATCOM, have they started yet over there, or they start in July?
They're trickling over one at a time, but okay. It starts basically next week. The first one will start working over there, training over there.
Okay.
So we expect by the end of May that all three of them will be fully engaged in with MATCOM.
Okay.
And that will take us down to 7, which keeps us manned 24 hours, but it'll be manned with one person and a supervisor as opposed to two people, and the supervisor doesn't work 24 hours. So
sure. And so then still as a target date for the full transition?
July 1st.
July 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that'll be an interesting time. We'll see. It's been a long process. Yeah,
everyone's interested to make sure that the public is safe.
Right.
So it's in the back of everyone's mind. But from the Palmer standpoint, it takes a good 3 to 6 months to train a dispatcher. And people don't want to hire.
Well, sure.
To work for Palmer for 6 months.
Right. Right.
And we can't train somebody for 6 months. And then.
Well, it gives Metcom an incentive to. I'm sure they're working hard at it.
Oh, yeah. 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 There's no doubt that folks are working this. It's just a little awkward bump in the road, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So I've asked a lot of questions about some things. We've just about run out of time, but if you have another minute or so, is there anything else you would like to say?
Well, again, there's a lot going on. Spring's here. You won't see the street sweepers out for a while. Again, that's it's a water-based piece of equipment. It's a vacuum that also sprays water to keep the dust down. I'd really like to have it out now, but we run the risk of damaging that equipment because of the water freezing in the equipment.
Right.
So probably closer to May, like every other year, we'll go through this period of grayness and stuff on the road. But if you see trash, pick it up. City cleanup is coming May 12th and 13th. Our first, I don't want to say first event, because we've had events all winter, and it's great that the community and the folks that put those things on, but Who Let the Girls Out version 7, that's come up at the end of April.
Right.
May will have its events. June has its. There's a lot going on in May. We've had to adjust our calendar for spring cleanup. We've got the bike blessing. We've got other events that happen through May. Friday Fling starts the weekend before Memorial Day, and then right around the corner is Colony Day. So our spring summer events are right around the corner. It's coming fast and furious. So
that's right.
We look forward to the great weather and the happenings in town.
All right. Well, thank you, Nate Wallace, city manager for the city of Palmer. Thank you for coming in and sharing this information. Have a good day.
Thanks.